Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. It's sunny North Michigan Avenue, though still a little chilly out there just out on the WGN Storm Center patio. But hopefully we'll get those temperatures warming up, though not necessarily downtown by the lake. So if you're going to the Cubs-Yankees game at Wrigley Field at 7 p.m. tonight, as my guest Democratic State Representative Sarah Feigenholz is going to the game tonight.
I am. It's in my district, Rick. It's my job.
It's constituent service.
It's my job.
Well, do me a favor and get a win tonight would be, let's fly the W and beat the Yankees. Would be nice.
It would be nice.
Well,
tonight's the night.
But bundle up.
Always do.
Let's hope there's hot bats. That's on the Cubs side this time. Well, I wanted to have Representative Feigenholz in to talk about a bill that prompted some interest in the governor's race, in this early jockeying in the governor's race. And it's interesting from kind of the genesis of how this sparked into the governor's race. This is legislation that ostensibly is aimed at removing a trigger mechanism that Illinois's abortion law would be triggered back to a ruling that a U.S. Supreme Court ruling if the court rules that Roe v. Wade is tossed, and that Illinois law would trigger back pre-1975 and abortion would be illegal in the state. Moreover, it would expand abortion coverage to Medicaid recipients, as well as those covered by state employee health insurance.
Exactly.
And, you know, some of the debate was, for example, for state employee health insurance, like some state university workers, while students have abortion coverage in their student health insurance, the faculty and people working at state universities don't have that coverage under current law.
That's correct. And I just feel, you know, this is an issue. The Medicaid funding piece and the state employee funding piece has been an issue that has been brought up for many years. I have seen, since I've been in the General Assembly, Barbara Curry sponsored it. Judy Irwin sponsored it. I believe that even Rosemary Mulligan may have even been a sponsor of it, the late Rosemary Mulligan.
A Republican from Des
Plaines. Thank you. Yes. So this is something, you know, that you'll see the Ounce of Prevention, the Guttmacher Institute, and many foundations and think tanks. They'll tell you that this is a really prohibitive thing for women and families, women who are trying to continue on a path of economic independence, where they should be able to decide when they go to school, when they start a family, et cetera. And in any other sector, whether it's, you know, I'm a state employee, I do not have, if I got pregnant, I would not have access to abortion care. My insurance wouldn't cover it. But if I was an alderman, or if I work for the state, the city, or the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, just like you said, I would have that service. And if I was a man, I would have access to vasectomies and Viagra.
So this bill passed the House.
It did.
And this bill passed the House despite the veto threat issued by Governor Rauner. And why I bring up the governor in this is because in a questionnaire from Personal PAC from April 2014, the governor wrote, he was asked specifically about both elements of your bill. And he basically wrote in his, and I'll quote him here, "I fundamentally believe that abortion should be a woman's private decision, hopefully in consultation with her loved ones and her faith community, and that decision should not be impeded by government." He went on to say, "My highest priority in this area will be to ensure effective administration of the laws regarding access to contraception and provide that access regardless of income. I dislike the Illinois law that restricts abortion coverage under the state Medicaid plan and state employees' health insurance because I believe it unfairly restricts access based on income. I would support a legislative effort to reverse that law. That's Bruce Rauner's answer to Personal PAC on a questionnaire from April 2014. Now he says, focus on the budget, and that this is taking our focus away from the budget, and that he believes current law is sufficient, even though he said in 2014 as a candidate that it was insufficient.
Correct. I'm glad you brought that up. I think it's very alarming. It's funny. I feel the reaction from people who were hopeful that Bruce Rauner was a pro-choice gubernatorial candidate. I think this is a really important issue. I think about the visceral reaction we have to candidates, the three hot button issues that are either make it or break it: guns, gays, abortion, right? And I think that the reaction I'm getting from people around is how betrayed they feel, how this is very often a litmus test for people. They want to know if a candidate's pro-choice. They read or heard that, and other people attested to it. Also, Diana Rauner took out a full-page ad in the Chicago Tribune. There were many people supporting him under the guise of him being pro-choice.
He had no social agenda, Diana Rauner saying in the advertising for the 2014 campaign. That was her words about Bruce Rauner, that he had no social agenda.
If that's a way of getting out of a promise, is that what that is?
Well, that was back then to say, you know, the people are trying
right.
to, you know.
Well, I mean, long story short, Rick, I'm dismayed. I think I don't know why he did this. I feel filched. I think a lot of people think he's a flip-flopper. And this bill's going to pass the Senate this week, and it is going to end up on his desk. He will likely get 100,000 phone calls into his office to reconsider and sign this bill.
Now, some have suggested, since he hasn't really elaborated on what this veto may be, about perhaps just vetoing out the Medicaid state employee health insurance portion of it, trying to say that it's because of cost factors at a time when the state doesn't have any budget.
But there is no cost. The governor's, the Department of Health and Family Services in the 99th General Assembly filed a fiscal note. They revised a fiscal note when they considered the offset of what it costs, what a birth costs. They revised the fiscal note to zero. You'll notice that there is no opposition from the agency and state government that pays for state employee health insurance. There was no weighing in on that portion of the funding, on the state employee funding, only on the Medicaid funding. So, I mean, really what this says to me, Rick, is that there's still such stigma around women and their health choices. You know, I think that, you know, if you talk to Dr. Willie Parker, the anti-choice world has gotten the moral high ground on this issue, and they have successfully stigmatized women and just completely shamed them on this issue. And they need to stop, because this is healthcare. This is healthcare. Europeans listen to our conversations about abortion, and they laugh at us. We need to stop stigmatizing women. We need to let them get on that path to economic independence. And having these choices, and, you know, all of these red herrings who are members of the General Assembly on the floor that were saying that this is a $60 million cost, zero is the number I got from the governor's Office of Management and Budget. So what are we talking about?
We're speaking with Sarah Feigenholtz, Democratic State Representative from Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio with State Representative Sarah Feigenholtz, Democrat from Chicago. We're talking about legislation that she passed through the House and which she says will pass through the Senate this coming week, dealing with the issue of abortion rights, expanding abortion coverage to Medicaid recipients as well as those covered by state employee health insurance, as well as eliminating any question about a overturning of Roe v. Wade by the U.S. Supreme Court and how that would affect availability of the procedure here in Illinois. Some people have suggested that this legislation is being brought up to put the governor in a trick box.
You know, that's nice. And let me tell you why I sponsor this legislation. Because I know the cost is zero. I know I meet my constituents and people from all over the state really struggling. I feel that this is unfair and discriminatory. It's not a new, this is something we've worked on for 20 years. And three Republican governors believed, and you know, Jim Thompson wrote a tome, a veto message about a prohibition bill of Medicaid funding that basically said prohibiting poor women and state employees from access to this is cruel and discriminatory. George Ryan, Jim Edgar, Jim Thompson all agreed. The variable is a gentleman who's our governor now who has flip-flopped on this issue unfairly. You know, if the public doesn't understand the fear of women who are listening to Donald Trump, who basically, while he was candidate, Trump said, yeah, abortion could be illegal in some states. I am going to appoint a Anton Scalia-like Supreme Court. He essentially supported overturning Roe. It forced lawmakers to responsibly see what they can control.
And he said women should be punished.
Manage the panic, right? As a legislator, it's our responsibility to make sure that abortion remains legal, accessible in Illinois.
Well,
and safe. Because, you know, Rick, you remember maybe when Cook County had 17 beds, an abortion septic unit, and where women were self-aborting or going to back alley abortions and dying and leaving. You know, there was one doctor who testified who said that a woman bled out in the unit and left 7 children orphaned. We are not going back to those days. And in order for lawmakers to make sure that doesn't happen in the state, we have to pass this law.
One thing we've talked about, you know, his option, as he said, he would veto. If he mandatorily vetoes it, that effectively would also kill the legislation because the House does not accept mandatory vetoes. So
I'm glad that you brought that up. I think that if the governor thinks that that move is going to save him, he's wrong. You know what? If he does that, that means he's anti-choice. And that is how the women of the state of Illinois are going to read it, period.
I want to move to the broader issue of Springfield as here we are in the month of May, which is supposed to be the end of session deadline at month's end. And I'm not sure that we're going to see any kind of end of session resolution. You're much closer to the action going on there. But I just get this sense of we've already moved on to the 2018 campaigns for governor and the General Assembly and other statewide offices, and that we're on this kind of autopilot as we keep going deeper and deeper in debt.
Well, I know that May is crunch time, and there was a shift, and there have been a lot of meetings going on, but there are daily meetings now. Discussing the budget and options it is very, very disheartening. The governor has not been cooperative. You know, I have passed bills in the General Assembly, and what I normally do on tough stuff is I talk to people. I sit down with members on both sides of the aisle on an issue that's important to me, and I try to achieve the rule of 60. You've got to get 60 votes or more for something. The governor's not really done that on anything, whether it would be some of the non-budgetary issues that he so artfully tries to inject into a budget conversation, which I've never seen before. Usually substantive legislation is discussed in a separate conversation. It's not leveraged, especially over this period of time. I think that our caucus doesn't see it being a very productive way to spend our time with, you know, trying to negotiate on other elements. The Senate did a great job and gave more than we would have ever imagined and really tried to put a deal together on some of the governor's items while they also were able to kind of get to a budget solution for a balanced budget. And what was very eye-opening to me, because I really was hopeful that maybe Cullerton and Senate Minority Leader Redonio in the governor's office would be able to come to a deal, is at the very last moment when a deal was
pending,
the governor apparently assembled or called many Republican senators and said, "You're not voting for this." And he pulled the rug right out from under the Senate president, the minority leader, Christine Redonio. And very disappointing. But it also was illuminating that, you know, I don't think the governor wants a deal. You know, I'm not sure what he thinks he gains out of this. You know, the school's not opening. Social service agencies, our institutions of higher education are crumbling. You see, Northeastern Illinois University taking furlough days, not moving forward on programming that they were going to do, cutting summer classes. It's really awful. And kids not being able to get MAP funding. You know, the governor talks a lot about people leaving the state. There's a huge exodus of college students leaving Illinois because there's no stability here. So we are ready. We're ready. But we need somebody to do this with. The governor's supposed to lead. I wanted the governor to pull Republican votes on House Bill 40. You know, I thought he was a pro-choice governor. I was looking for a leader as a governor. It doesn't really matter what party they belong to. You have to have leadership skills. And he has failed. He has not engendered and enlisted support on anything. He's never asked for a vote.
That's Sarah Feigenholz, Democratic State Representative from Chicago. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
It's a pleasure.
We'll be back with more right after this.